none better than God Himself. There is no substitute. There is no generic version of God. God is real. And we must remember that. This morning, I'm glad to see all of you as we are into 2 days, 3 days now, into the third day of a new year. And I don't know how many of you realized it, but, you know, you didn't have to be here. You didn't have to be here this morning because as we start off, we actually have started off in a new decade. And that means if you're counting by 10, you're getting older. How many decades have you seen? And be thankful to God, however many that number is. This morning, before we get any further, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank You. We come thanking You this morning, thanking You for the many blessings that You have given us, O Lord. We thank You for what You're doing for us right this very minute, O Lord. We thank You for what You did for us on this earlier this morning, and we're praying that You continue doing what You do for us, Lord, on this afternoon. Father, as we approach the beginning or the early part of a new year, we thank You, Father, for we did not have to be here. We thank You that You have allowed us to see the early part of this new year, but we're praying now, O Lord, that if it be Your will, that You would allow us to see all the way through this year. And for most of us, Father, we are praying for many, many more years to come. But, Father, we know that at Your time, it's not like the time we call time. Father, for we know that You could call us home at any moment. And Father, this morning we want to make sure that we are prepared and that if we are not prepared, that we start getting prepared. We thank You this morning, Father, that because of Jesus, we are here. We thank You this morning, Father, that because of the miracle on the cross, we have received our salvation. And we just pray, O Heavenly Father, that we can continue to live up and live in the salvation that has been given to us. Thank You this morning, Father, for each and every member here this morning. Thank You for the leaders of this congregation, and thank You for their families. And thank You, Father, for those brethren who have taken time to be here this morning and become a part of this worship service. We pray for them and their families, and we also pray for those who shall come from this point on. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us to feel as well as we feel in the year 2010. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have looked out on us and favored us with this day. This is Your day, O Lord, and we thank You for it. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in this congregation. And we're praying, O Lord, that if there be some who are sick among us, that You would be with them, O Heavenly Father, and give them the help that they need, that they may be able to return. And we realize, Father, that it's an awfully cold day outside, but we live in this city, Father, and we know at this time of the year it gets cold. And we just prepare for it and keep on going. We thank You, Father, since it is Your weather anyway. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every parent that's raising their children, each and every married couple that's raising their children up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that the Church of Christ opens its doors on each and every Sunday morning, O Lord. And thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we were able to get here this morning. Father, we pray for those who this morning do not have whatever it is that they're missing, Father, if it's part of what they need, we just pray that You give it to them. Father, we don't pray this morning for those who ask for things that are not necessary, but we pray for those who ask for the things that they need. We pray for them, Father, but we're not praying that You always give us our wants, but more so our needs. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we can be blessed today because You are God. Father, we come praying this morning and thanking You for the leaders of this world in which we live, Father, for we know that they must make impossible decisions sometimes. They must make decisions that affect the entire world population. And we pray, O Lord, that You would give them the strength and the wisdom they need to make the decisions that would not hurt or harm our decision to serve Thee, O Lord. We thank You for allowing us to serve You, O Lord, in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are at war all over the world. We just pray, O Father, that our traveling public will be safe in the years to come. and in the days to come in front of us, O Lord. Thank you for everything that you do for us, O Heavenly Father. Please continue to bless and be with us all. It is in your Son Jesus' name that we pray and ask these blessings, Lord. Let us all say amen. This morning, we want to look at the book of James, chapter 4. And I quote this scripture quite frequently, but we want to look at it and take it this morning a step further. We want to look into it and just see what James is talking about. So for a subject, we want to ask the question, what is your life? Today is a day above all days to be thankful, because it is the Lord's day. It is the first Lord's day in a brand new decade, in a brand new year. Secondly, it is being that it is a brand new year. And I know that many of us have been blessed. I know that I have. I don't know if you have, but I know that I have been blessed. And I know that you have been blessed, for if you are hearing me, I have been blessed and if to speak to you. And if you are hearing, you have been blessed to hear me. So I know you are blessed. This is what makes life so very precious, the blessings that God gives us. It's precious because we know how precious our Savior is. Some of us are still trying to find the answers to one of life's most burning questions. That is, what is life? I can tell you today what it is not. Life is not fame or fortune. It is not money, nor is it the clothes on our backs. For all these things are material things that one day soon shall fade. Even these old bodies that we live in one day too shall be gone. According to the book of Luke in chapter 12 and verse number 15, in the words of Jesus, he says, a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things he possesses. So whatever you have, that doesn't make life itself. That may tend to make life a little easier for you to live, but it doesn't make up life itself. When we look out at this new year this morning, we should all try to make this a better one, start this one out better than we ended the old one. Let us go back to God. And I know what some may say. Some may say, I never left Him in the old year. But I'm a believer that we can all do a little bit better. Each and every one of us, I believe, can do a little bit better. All of us have faults and weaknesses. All of us can build ourselves up and become stronger. But there are some things we must understand when you look at the text. Look at James chapter 4 once again as we reread the text. James chapter 4, starting at verse number 13, the Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So this morning, before you do anything, church, you've got to ask yourself the question, what is your life? Before we can plan ahead, we must take care of the present. And the first thing we must understand is that as we live this life, we have all sinned. According to the Bible, we have all become sinners. And I know some say, well, preacher, I thank you for that, but I'm not a sinner. That may be true, according to God's word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that doesn't mean that your life is currently caught up in sin. It just means that no matter how perfect you think you are, you have sinned. Now, if I try to define that word sin, sin means missing the mark or falling away from righteousness. But most importantly, sin is that which is contrary to God's expressed will. And let me drop this on you while I can. The sinfulness of sin lives in the fact that it's, whether it's against God or whether I do wrong to others or myself, it's still sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression
of the law.
So what is your life going to be like in the year 2010? What is your life going to be like in this new year? Will you justify sinning with a cover up like men do today? Or will you remember where we came from and then remember who your God is? We are of God because God made us according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostril, and man became a living soul. And we ought to be willing to serve him, church, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 28. For in him we live and move. We have our being and we are his offspring. God made us, church. And you've seen people walking around with that T-shirt on that said, God didn't make a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. No matter what I look like, no matter what I'm wearing, no matter the character of me, God still made me. And one of our elders used to say all the time, we're all just dust, a dirt of the ground. And he was right about that. We all came from the same dirt. And so you've got to ask yourself, what is your life, church? Well, I'll tell you, it's nothing without God. There is something good about the new year. It gives us the ability to start out anew. It gives us the ability to thank God for allowing us to get here and to carry us forward stronger than we were in the old year. How great is God in your life, church? You need to ask yourself. You need to consider the fact that without God, we are nothing. And I want you to listen to how one of God's men put it. How one of God's men put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Do you realize, church, without God's grace, where you would be? Nowhere. Nowhere. God is good to us, church. And I know what some of us like to say in this world. We like to say, boy, If I did this or if I hadn't done that, I don't know where I'd be. Well, without God, you wouldn't be anywhere. It's God that provided you the ability to do that thing that you are thinking you are doing so greatly. It's God that provides you the ability to make it on your own. We think that we make it by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. So James asked that question in verse number 14. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? That's the question, church. What is your life? God's grace is upon us, church. So when you go off into this new year, into the new year of your life, you think about today and you ask yourself, what am I going to do after today? And I know what some say. I got up early this morning so I could go to church. And some of you, and I'm not talking about anybody in this building right now, unless it happens to fit you. But some of you haven't been to church since last year this time. There are folk who don't come but certain days of the year. Those are the folk that are not concerned about the question for what is your life. And then he goes on to explain what is your life. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Boil some water on the stove and watch it for a few minutes. In a few minutes you'll see a vapor come rising up out of that pot of water. And then as soon as you see it, it disappears. That's what life is like. Oh, we think we live for a long time. Oh, we think we got a long time. And we make these fantastic plans. We consider that God is going to allow us to be here. And some of us don't even take into consideration that God might not let me be here tomorrow. So he says in that verse, he says, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then it vanishes away. It's hard to consider for some of us
that my life is the same as a vapor. But it's metaphorically speaking to us so that we'll understand it a little better.
Then there are some more metaphors that are used for life, and I'll get to those in a few minutes, but you just hold on. Then we got to consider that this life we live is sacred because it's from God. During this new year, we need to resolve to give God more consideration. When you go and look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, and this ought to be a resolution if you make resolution from the smallest to the greatest of us. It's to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, can you understand what God is saying? Study your Bible a little bit more. Study just a little bit more so you'll understand what things are. And that hits all of us. You know, I don't mind telling you that sometimes the preacher falls short too. Don't put me up so high that you don't think that I'm human just like you. Sometimes I need to get into my studying more. Sometimes you need to get into your studying more. Because God's words are His actions and His goodness are there for us to know what God meant for our lives. A life without God is a life headed to no good end. A Christian who turns his back on God is living a life like that of a pig who has been washed and returned to wallowing in the mud, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, around verse number 22. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen pigs. I have. If you saw some of you may not ever want to eat a pork chop or a rib again in your life. But I'll tell you something about them when you see them. And I've been with my folks when they say, I got to go and feed the pigs. You want to go with me? So I've been down to the pig's trough, or the pig pen as it's called. And when you go down there, the pigs eat whatever you didn't eat because it's called slop. And they pour this in this long trough. And the pigs start to climb it all over one another to see who can be the first, who can get the most. And some of us live our lives like that. We want to see if I can climb over somebody else's back and beat them out to getting what I need. But what is your life? Some of us, we consider that life is simply how much money I can make. You know, if you walk around with a lot of money in your pocket, you think that puts you up on top of the world. But all that does is put you in danger of not remembering where you came from. When you consider that text in James 4 and verse number 14, where it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For what? Look at verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and we shall do that or this or that. God's sacred word in Isaiah chapter 55, around verses number 8 and verse number 9. And I know most Bible scholars know this one. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We can never think like God, church. We can never think like God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, for as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts than yours. In other words, God thinks so far above our thoughts. When you have a thought, and most of us when we have thoughts, especially if we're around other folks and we're in a meeting or something, we like to make sure our thoughts get out there. We want to be on top with our thoughts. But none of our thoughts as Christians can beat that of the thoughts of God. We're just not made that way, church. We think manly. God thinks spiritually. We think about the things that God has already achieved and moved on. When we think about it, God already knows about it. We think of earthly wealth. God thinks of us in our heavenly abode. In John chapter 14 and verse number 23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, what is your life, church? What is your life? And when we think about it, church, it seems that it was just show you how time is moving. This is why I'm giving you this example. When you think about it, it seems that it was just the year 2000, just a little while ago. But here it is now, the year 2010. Here it is now where we've got to remember that it's now 10 and it's not 09 any longer. Here is the time when we must remember that we are into a new year. And what am I going to do this year? How am I going to approach this year? What and where is your life headed in this new year? This new year, the new year is here, and we all need to be more considerate, have more consideration toward God. Look at the text again, church. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? I keep coming back to that very question. What is your life? And I think that starting in this new year, the main thing we ought to do is we ought to get serious or more serious about life. When you make your plans, or when we make our plans in this life, we need to check with God first. Life is a rocky road and we need some help in staying the course. Life is a rocky road and without us being careful, no telling how soon we might trip and fall on the road, down the road of life. Before you decide that you are going out and get rich and become a rock star, we need to make sure that we are speaking to the rock itself first. In Exodus chapter 17, around verse number 6, you remember the story about Moses, that God told him to speak to a rock and it would give water for the children of Israel. But Moses did not take life and the word of God seriously. And in Numbers chapter 20, around verse number 11, the Bible said that Moses hit the rock. And you know something about it? To show you that he was not serious about his life and about God's word. He didn't hit the rock one time. He hit the rock two times. And then water came out, but God had a conversation with Moses in verse number 12. God told Moses, I'm going to set things in order now, Moses. You won't lead the Israelites into the promised land. And you know something, what I want you to get from that, church? That one day God is going to speak to all of us. He's going to speak to all of us. So you must make a decision of what is your life and where is life going. The Bible speaks of the seriousness and the shortness of this life in many familiar scriptures. He speaks metaphorically once again in Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 10. His word speaks of the days of our lives. In Psalms chapter 102 and verse number 11, he speaks how that our days are like a shadow that declines and becomes like withered grass. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1, he speaks how we should not boast of tomorrow. And even in our text of James 4 and 14, it speaks how that our life is like a vapor that's here for a little while and then vanishes away. Church, our lives are short. That's all I'm trying to say. Life is short. And I know what we like to play on the edge. We like to play on the edge of life. We like to say, I'll do it this one more time and then I'll be all right. But the Bible says in verse number 14 there, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Then in verse number 15 again it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So when you plan your future, when you work out your soul or trying to work out your soul salvation, remember to go to the Lord first before you make any plans about your life. If you are not serious, church, about your life, you need to consider and you need to remember the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in round verse number 10. It says we must all appear, not some of us, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Didn't I tell you one day he was going to have a talk with us too? Oh yeah. This is a new year, church. It's a good time to come to Christ.
It's a good time to return to Christ, to come to Christ, or to return to Christ. Life is too short, death is too certain, judgment is too sure, and hell is too real not to plan out your life with the Lord. To take a chance on your life means you are probably taking a chance with man's thought. Man says it's weaknesses. God says it's wickedness. Man says it's a mistake. God says it's madness. Man says it's liberties. God says it's transgression. Man says it's a defect. God says it's a disease. Church, we need to prepare to meet our God. For in the end, God will have the final say-so. So before you make any plans for this new year, if you haven't already made them. You know, we make plans early on in the new year. Soon as the new year get here, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Soon as the new year gets here, I'm going to start exercising more. Soon as the new year gets here, after I finish my New Year's meal, of course. Soon as the new year gets here, I'm going to save more money after I pay my bills. Soon as the new year gets here, I'm going to buy me some new clothes soon as I can lose some of this weight. And we go on and on with this, church. So before you make these resolutions that you're going to break anyhow, think about it. What is your life and where will it lead you in this new year? Prayerfully, you ought to consider your choices before you decide. Will it be the way of the cross or the way of the fire? There's only two choices in this life. And look at the text once again, church. The Bible says in verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. So before you make these long-range plans for this new year, and I say they're long-range plans because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So anything past now is a long-range plan. Anything past right now becomes long-range planning. And some are saying, well, I lost a lot of money last year in the stock market. I'm not going to lose so much money in the stock market this year. I'm going to take what I've gotten so far, and I'm going to do some great things with what I've got. Somewhere along the line, somebody is sitting down right now. They're sitting down right now planning about next week or next month or even later on. Some folk are even planning toward the end of the year right now. They're preparing their Christmas list for next Christmas. They haven't even finished this Christmas, because the bills haven't come in yet. And because they haven't finished this Christmas, they're already planning next Christmas. But didn't the book just say, don't plan on tomorrow without talking to the Lord first? Brother Burnside mentioned about counting up the cost. Well, this is the same thing. Count up the cost before you do it. Count up the cost. And I know what we like to do around here. We like to say, as soon as I get my check, I'm going to do this and do that. And you know there are people right now today, and I know there's one person in the congregation who knows what I'm talking about. People are already counting on the income tax check. They're already spending what they don't even have yet. But nobody or very few are planning on coming to church next Sunday. They're not planning to be here in the house of the Lord. They're planning to stay in their house and continue to count up their monies. Continuing to watch their big screen and flat screen TVs. And I have no problem with that because I sit in front of my TV all the time too. But I'm not talking about you just sitting there. I'm talking about what you're doing when you're not watching your TV. Or how sometimes you ought to just hit that remote and pick up the book. If you hit the remote and turn it off, not change channels now, turn it off and go into God's Word and start planning to how you can serve God better. You know, we as Christians must learn that we must serve God. And the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Not on the TV screen. Not on the internet version of the church. Not on your correspondence course. But coming to His house. Leaving your house and coming out to His house. Can I count on seeing more of you in the audience next Sunday? I'd like to be able to do that. But I don't know if I can. Can I count on some of you, more of you, being out on the last Sunday of this month? Can I count on seeing more of you in God's house in the coming months? Most of us haven't planned that far ahead about that yet. So then the question becomes, if I do want to change my year, preacher, if I do want to get closer to God, what do I need to do? Or if I've never met God, what do I need to do? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. I'm early, so don't nobody look at your watch. I just look at mine to check. But you come to Him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. The cold weather won't stop us from baptizing you. You don't have to wait till the fourth Sunday in May. You can come right now, today, and Brother Jackson will baptize you. I don't even have to ask Him anymore because I know what He's going to say. But if you've already met the Lord and you just went astray, life can throw you all kinds of curveballs. You can fall off the track in the race. Matter of fact, some of us still have yet to get on the track. But you can fall off the track. You can fall out of favor with God. Didn't the prodigal son do that? It's easy in this life because there are so many temptations in this life. But when you do manage to fall, don't lay there. Don't lay down in the field. Get up out of the sewer and bring yourself back to the Lord. Ask Him to give you forgiveness for whatever it is that you've done. And then move on to the front of the church. Ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. So, church, I want you to remember to ask yourself the question, what is your life? What is your life? Because it's soon going to fade away. And just like the rich man in Lazarus, once you're gone, there's no more planning days left. All the planning must take place before you leave here. And if you haven't planned it right, don't expect that you're going to